There are non-inherited forms of long QT. There are many types of drugs or pharmaceutical agents that also can prolong the QT interval.
That's
common drugs, actually.
That's correct. So we actually divide long QT syndrome into what we call inherited long QT syndrome and acquired long QT syndrome. And the acquired long QT syndrome is really mostly due to those medications that can cause QT prolongation. There are many, for example, antibiotics, anti-seizure medicines, for example, that can cause your QT to lengthen, a whole host of medications, and can cause acquired long QT syndrome. Also electrolyte abnormalities, so patients who are, for example, depleted with potassium or magnesium can have a lengthening of their QT. So we put those into a group of patients that have acquired long QT, and that's important to distinguish because those are potentially treatable and not something that are necessarily going to be passed on to their children.
Eat your fruits, vegetables, and almonds for your magnesium.
That's
at
right.
least to get rid of some of those electrolyte
disorders. Right.
If it's an acquired process, that's really treatable by getting rid of the underlying disorder, underlying medication, underlying electrolyte disorder. That's relatively easier, I suppose.
Generally. I mean, I will say that there is probably a little bit of overlap. So, for example, there are patients who may take a medication that lengthens their QT, but they may, in fact, have a kind of milder form of inherited long QT underlying, and it kind of was unmasked by the drug. So there may be some overlap. But for the most part, yes, if somebody has what we would consider acquired long QT, you stop the medication, correct the electrolyte abnormalities, and then they usually won't have to deal with any consequences.